this is where she's going to give us a better look.
That's been like hanging out there.
Yeah, I'll leave that one. Right. We'll go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's have the movement. What are we rescheduling? We can connect.
Yeah. What contributed to the offer?
Ben.
The last one.
Good move.
Julie.
So.
Nate, if you're waiting,
did you get all the win?
If you're waiting for somebody, he's going to hold you over.
Oh, great.
I just asked him about it. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. In case you don't want to sit here the whole time.
Go ahead. Call the House Committee on Health Care to order for this May 17th. We are going to carry over, we're going to reschedule Senate Bill 48A for a week from today, is that right?
Correct, Mr. Chair.
For a week from today. No work session on that. And plan if there's no promise to work the next two bills.
They thought you were doing
everybody's people. Favorite bill, too, so that's why.
I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 423. Madam Administrator?
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill 423 had a public hearing on May 10th. You'll recall this permits physician assistants to dispense Schedule 3 and 4 drugs under the Federal Controlled Substance Act. This takes effect January 2018. At that time, during the public hearing, we heard comments about reporting requirements to the Prescription Drug Monitoring Program. What you have before you is a Dash 3 amendment that directs the physician assistant that is dispensing a controlled substance to report the dispensing information to the PDMP. We had a Dash 2 that also had the reporting requirement, but it was through the supervising physician or the supervising physician organization. We had a little bit of problems with it, so we took that language out, just making it the PAs.
Okay. Can I have a motion on the amendment?
Well, discussion when the motion is on the table.
Okay.
Is that appropriate?
Sure.
Oh, that's all right.
That's fine. Whenever you
we have a work session, let's talk.
Okay.
Can I move the, amendment first?
No.
You want to let it cover?
Okay. Yeah.
Doesn't make any difference to me.
Sorry, does somebody want to talk about
it? Yeah, thanks, Chair Greenlee. I'm going to be a no. I think the direction, I understand the intent of this bill, but I think the direction is different than what certainly our consensus has been on this committee to restrict the amount of opioid prescriptions in Oregon, and I think this potentially allows an increase in the number of those prescriptions that we see around the state.
They have the right to prescribe it now, right? It's just a question whether they dispense it themselves or write a prescription.
That's right.
Your feeling is that'll just make it more easier to do. Any other discussion?
Hayden.
Representative Hayden.
So, thank you, Chair Greenlee. When they are dispensing internally in their own office, meaning they have a supply that they can write a prescription for, and they can hand out 10, 20, whatever pills they can dispense internally, that avoids going through the PDMP, correct?
The Dash 3 amendments have it referred to that.
The Dash 3 amendments would force that to be in the PDMP?
Force it to be in the PDMP.
The physician who dispenses,
they have to report it.
Has to go, and that's the statute.
And apparently they can do it directly, at least in Zoom Care. They can do it directly through their internal system. Mm-hmm. Okay, well let's get the Dash 3 on the floor.
All right. Chair Greenlee, I would like to move to adopt the Dash 3 amendment to Senate Bill 423 dated March 16th, 2017. May 16th. God.
Yesterday.
Yeah, that's yesterday.
Representative Nose moves the Dash 3 amendments to Senate Bill 423 dated 5/16/17. You want to talk about the motion, about the amendment, please? Madam Minister, will you just repeat?
Oh, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the Dash 3 amendment directs the physician assistant that is dispensing the controlled substance to report the dispensing information to the prescription drug monitoring program as outlined in statute. There is minimal fiscal impact on the Dash 3 and no revenue impact on the Dash 3, Mr. Chair.
Is there any discussion on the motion to amend? Is there any objection to the motion to amend? You all right with that?
I'm okay.
So moved.
Motion, mate.
Yeah, it's okay.
Now you have it.
Chair Greenlink, I would like to move that the committee send Senate Bill 423 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
There's a notice move Senate Bill 423 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion? You're on the record, Representative Bueller. Would you call the roll, please?
Representative Kenny Dyer.
Aye.
Representative Bueller.
No.
Representative Alonzo Leon.
Aye.
Representative Kennemer.
Aye.
Representative Malmstrom.
Aye.
Representative Pack.
Aye.
Vice Chair Nose.
Yes.
Vice Chair Hayden.
No.
Chair Greenlink.
Aye. Motion carries. Somebody like to carry this?
I can do it. Nobody else wants to. Gives me practice on the floor.
Alonzo Leon will carry it. Close the work session on Senate Bill 423 and open a work session on Senate Bill 485A. Madam Administrator, what do you have?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 485 had a public hearing on May the 10th. You'll recall this exempts nonprofit corporations from the Oregon's Corporate Practice of Medicine Law statute, which is ORS 58.375, if specific federal certification requirements are met and the entity provides services to the migrant, rural, homeless, or other medically underserved population. This exempts for-profit and nonprofit business entities from Oregon's Corporate Practice of Medicine Law if the entity operates solely as a rural health clinic. This is Senator Przanski's bill. This left the Senate floor with 29 ayes, one excuse. There are no amendments, Mr. Chair, and it has a no revenue and minimal fiscal impact.
Can I have a motion, please?
Chair Greenlink, I would like to move Senate Bill 485A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Noes moves Senate Bill 485A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
Oh, Chair Greenlink.
Yes, sir.
So would like to applaud the Orchid Health and their personnel for what they do. They've been instrumental in bringing health to rural Oregon, but I'm concerned that this changes the practice of medicine and the responsibilities being attached to a specific physician, so I'll be a no on the bill.
Okay, Representative Hayden. Are there any other comments on the bill?
I'll make a comment.
Yes.
Just I found it very compelling, the young people who came in that had come out of U of O and brought the bill forward about the need to not put barriers onto ownership of rural health clinics just because there's too many people who may not want to do it, and I see that as an unnecessary barrier. And I'm not concerned about whether somebody who is not a practicing physician is a member or not. That doesn't seem to, in fact, there's a little piece of me that's like when physicians have ownership, does that change a for-profit status in a way? So I almost have more concerns the other way. I just don't understand the concerns about somebody having ownership of something that where they're not practicing in that. So I'm curious. I mean, I'm almost saying this as a work session discussion starter, because I'm not understood why not go in this direction when there seems to be a really good compelling reason.
Can I respond?
Yeah, no, if the chair
in my opinion, when there's an adverse outcome in a medical situation, if you don't have a licensed practitioner that bears that full responsibility, then all of a sudden you get fingers pointing different direction. Well, it was this corporate responsible, or it was this corporation that was responsible, and you no longer have the attachment of this dentist or this, in this case, this physician is responsible for the health and safety of the clients in that place. They can attach that to a license, and so there's somebody overseeing that is very concerned about that patient's health. Even though they may not be providing the service directly to them, they have a responsibility to that patient. When you go to a corporate model, you break that trust and responsibility.
There needs to be a medical director that serves that responsibility in a clinic, right? But then you think it's shared in a sense with the corporation.
Yeah, that's helpful, but it still leaves the corporation responsible for somebody's medical care versus a licensed practitioner that had the due diligence and responsibility to make sure everybody gets hired in there is up to speed and providing the service. That's why we have that.
Representative Hack has her hand up.
Representative Hack?
Thank you. So, question, I guess, and maybe you two down there that are docs could answer this, but would that not fall under whoever treated the patient and their malpractice, regardless of who owns the facility?
That's what I think.
It would fall in both places, certainly the treating person. But I think the point is that there has to be a medical director, they understand that, who has overall responsibility for organizing it from the medical perspective. I think
but
Representative Hayden's argument is that if you go after everybody, you go after the corporation, mm-hmm. you go after the medical director, you go after the physician, you probably go after the janitor who was standing next to him.
But oh, yeah. And the janitor says, it wasn't me, and they say it wasn't me, and the medical director said, I didn't do the work. Under the current system, I feel that there is a connection to somebody in charge, and the idea is to say, this is your clinic. You have the financial responsibility, but you also have the responsibility to make sure that the mid-tier providers are providing the appropriate service.
I will point out there's a historical context where this came about. The fight against what was known as the corporate practice of medicine came out of medical societies in the 30s and the 40s trying to ward off organizations like Kaiser Permanente or the Group Health Cooperative of Puget Sound to keep them out. There was a very strong argument historically to do that, to keep medical practice, which in those days meant, you know, a one or two physician or one or two dentist office. And there wasn't any sense that it would be like the Portland Clinic or the Oregon Clinic with hundreds of doctors under a single heading.
In full disclosure, I'm very familiar with this situation, and for 2 years I have said, if you commit to nonprofit, I will support this. But I think when you put a profit motive in there, it can cause concerns. It's my opinion.
It's made me uneasy from the beginning.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Thank you. I guess it seems to me that there's probably an analogous situation with some of the hospitals.
I don't think physicians have
to. Where ownership is not necessarily by physicians. And that seems to have worked out fairly well.
Yeah.
Or not.
For better or for worse.
Well, I mean, you know, we're talking humans here, so yeah. It gets a little complicated to make
true.
It work. You know, had some discussions about another bill, too.
Yeah. I'll be happy to talk about that one. Is there any other discussion?
I'll just ask one more question, please, if that's okay, Mr. Chair, about how do you feel there's any difference between the nonprofit or the for-profit status with this?
I do think there's a difference, and I agree with Representative Hayden that I argued all along. You guys could do a nonprofit organization. You can get a management contract. You can pay yourself whatever you want. And I really, as you know, as you can tell from 2122,
right.
I do care a lot in this.
So maybe we should
the thing that's convinced me, and I'm willing to vote for this, is it really is focusing on a special area of need. It's the extent to which they've proven they can get care out into a rural area, and now maybe two rural areas. I think under that special circumstance, maybe it's okay, but I'd still be far more comfortable with it as a nonprofit rather than a profit making.
I've said my piece.
Me too. Let's call the roll.
Representative Kenny Guyard.
Aye.
Representative Buehler.
No.
Representative Alonzo Leon.
After this discussion, I'm still an aye, but I want to add that I think it's I think part of this work, and I do like the idea for profit, or excuse me, nonprofit focus, and that this is for access purposes.
Right.
There's a lot of rural communities that don't have access to healthcare, and this is creating access for them. So an aye for that case.
Aye.
Representative Malmstrom.
Aye.
Representative Pack.
Aye.
Vice Chair Nose.
Yes.
Vice Chair Haven.
No.
Chair Greenland.
How strong are you?
I would much rather be a no.
You could be a no. I still have to
join the bill unless Representative Kenny Guyard wants to.
I'll go with it.
Can I change my vote?
Can you change your vote?
Can I change my vote?
Change your vote, I won't be able to change my vote.
Of course you can. It's still fine.
I haven't gaveled down. You can change your vote.
I'm going to change mine to a no.
So, can I?
In favor of the nonprofit.
Before, yeah.
If we're that divided, maybe we need an amendment and we ought to just hold it.
And make it just nonprofits. Can we do that? Too late?
That won't work.
Okay.
Right, well, roll with it.
Hey, it's a pro business bill in my
mind. Are you switching to a no?
Oh, yes.
That's kind of wild.
Can we just be clear?
You just say,
yeah, I want
to hear I'm switching to a no.
I'm a yes.
I'm a yes too.
Motion carries. Will you carry it?
Yeah, I'll carry it.
Good. It was a no, so carry it. Close the work session on Senate Bill 485A.
You want to carry it?
I'm good, but I'm just
talk to Mike McLean and say pigs and pigs and dogs and cats.
We are adjourned.
I've never seen it. We are adjourned.